Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Today we're tackling something that seems simple on the surface. It's an acronym you hear all the time in civil aviation, OEM, Original Equipment Manufacturer. Sounds official, right? But according to the sources we're looking at, using it might be, well, misleading, maybe even a bit dangerous in contracts or when talking regulations. Yeah, we're doing this dive because a listener asked, basically, what's the correct term here? How do you navigate aviation commerce and regulation without tripping up on terminology? Because you see OEM parts, OEM certified, slapped on everything. But what's the real legal standing when, say, the FAA gets involved? Is it just jargon or does it hold water?
It's a really interesting point, isn't it? How a term gains so much weight commercially, even when it doesn't have a solid legal or regulatory anchor, especially in aviation, where precision is usually paramount, and that's the heart of it, based on this material. Words matter, hugely. And OEM, well, it just doesn't have a single agreed-upon legal definition in the civil aviation world. That gap, that lack of definition, that's where the communication problems and potentially the compliance issues start cropping up.
Okay, so let's dig into that ambiguity. Because it's kind of mind-blowing that a term tossed around in aviation for over 40 years, as one source puts it,
40, yeah,
carries no actual legal or regulatory weight on its own. Why is that? Why wouldn't the FAA or EASA just define it if everyone's using it?
Well, from a regulator's perspective, it fundamentally shouldn't mean anything. They aren't really concerned with who was original, you know, who had the idea first. What they care about is who has the legal authority, the approval to make a specific part that's safe to put on an aircraft.
Ah, okay. So the commercial world likes OEM for maybe their main supplier, but the regulator needs something much more specific.
Exactly. The confusion comes from trying to map that commercial shorthand onto a strict regulatory framework.
Mm-hmm.
Under the safety rules, what regulators recognize isn't OEM, it's being a design approval holder or production approval holder, or sometimes both with a specific approval. That's the legal basis for making and selling parts for planes. The moment you bring OEM into that regulatory discussion, you kind of muddy the waters. You risk confusing who's actually responsible, who holds the approval.
Right, that makes sense. The difference between the brand name or the initial designer and the entity with the legal sign-off from the authorities. And you think about a modern airliner.
Yeah.
It's not made by one OEM, is it? It's an incredibly complex machine.
Absolutely not.
You've got the engine maker, the avionics folks, landing gear, seats, galleys, dozens, maybe hundreds of manufacturers.
Each potentially a major player in their own right.
And those companies might have patents, proprietary designs, you know, commercial rights. But regulations-wise, they aren't just lumped together as OEM.
Precisely. They are individually specific approval holders for the parts they design or produce.
Yeah.
You really have to separate the commercial branding, the original idea, from the regulatory safety authority.
So for you listening, let's just clarify those approval types quickly.
Good idea. Generally, you've got the design approval holder, or DAH. That's the entity that owns the design specs, the data, the testing, the blueprint, essentially.
Okay, DAH. Got it.
And then you have the production approval holder, or PAH. That's the company legally allowed to actually make the part according to that approved design.
DAH owns the design, PAH makes the part.
Right, and often they might be the same company for a given part, but not necessarily. You could have a DAH license, a separate PAH to produce it.
Which makes just saying OEM even more confusing then. If I'm an airline and my contract says use only OEM parts, who am I legally talking about? The DAH, the PAH, the company whose name is biggest on the box.
That's the danger. It's undefined. It's like regulatory quicksand if you don't clarify it in the contract itself.
Okay, right. This leads us perfectly into the practical problem of the real mess this causes. And this is where the sources give that aha moment, the whole supposed fight over using PMA parts.
Yes. This is where the misunderstanding really shows itself. First, maybe we should quickly define PMA.
Good call. PMA.
It stands for Parts Manufacturer Approval. It's a specific type of FAA approval. It lets a company, other than the original DH, PAH perhaps, legally make replacement parts for aircraft. These aren't, you know, counterfeit parts. They have to go through a really rigorous process, reverse engineering, testing, documentation, to prove they meet or exceed the safety standards of the original part.
Okay, so PMA parts are FAA-approved safe replacement parts. But the industry buzz, the sort of common wisdom, is often that PMA parts are somehow less good, secondary to OEM parts.
Exactly that. And that common belief sets up this perfect contradiction that the source author highlights. Think about this. You ask an airline or a leasing company, do you use PMA parts? And very often the answer is a firm, No, absolutely not.
Right, you hear that a lot. We only use OEM.
But then ask the same person, so you only buy parts from the OEM? And the answer is almost always yes, of course.
Hang on. They say no to PMA, but yes to OEM, thinking those are consistent positions. But you're saying, and the sources are saying, they're actually contradicting themselves.
Completely. That very response, no PMA, yes OEM, proves they don't understand what OEM means, or rather doesn't mean, in the regulatory world. And they don't understand who actually holds PMAs.
How so? What's the disconnect?
They're assuming that PMA holders and the companies they think of as OEMs are two totally separate groups. Like, PMA is the aftermarket, and OEM is the original source.
Yeah, that seems to be the common perception.
But here's the kicker, the critical detail from the sources. The vast majority of PMAs issued by the FAA are actually held by the very companies everyone thinks of as the OEMs.
Wait, what? The big manufacturers, the main suppliers? They hold most of the PMAs.
That's right. The major production approval holders often also hold PMAs for the parts they supply.
Why would they do that if they're already the original?
Flexibility. It gives them maximum control over their own supply chain and manufacturing. They can use the PMA to make the part themselves, or they can authorize other trusted suppliers under their quality system to produce parts using that PMA,
Yeah.
perhaps based on licensed data. It's a tool for managing production efficiently while retaining control.
I honestly had no idea. So the big guys, the OEMs in the commercial sense, are often also PMA holders for the same parts.
Very often, yes.
Wow, that flips the whole narrative. So if an airline insists on only OEM parts and thinks they're avoiding PMA, they could very well be buying parts that were literally manufactured under a PMA held by their OEM supplier.
It's entirely possible, even likely in many cases. They're buying a part from the company they call the OEM, and that part's legal basis for existing is a PMA.
So the whole debate about original versus PMA is kind of meaningless from a regulatory standpoint. It's just about who holds the valid FAA approval, whether that's a production certificate, a TSO authorization, or a PMA.
Precisely. The regulatory takeaway is stark. There are no OEMs in civil aviation law. There are only design and production approval holders with specific recognized credentials like PC, TSOA, or PMA. That's the language that matters for compliance.
Okay, let's talk about the dangerous part then. If it's just semantics, why is it dangerous?
Because contracts and compliance aren't just semantics. Imagine an engine maintenance contract that just says, use OEM parts. A part fails later. Who's liable? If OEM wasn't clearly defined in that specific contract by referencing the actual approval holder, DHP and AGNES, you could have a huge legal fight. Or worse,
Worse out.
your maintenance shop could face regulatory action. Maybe the part you installed, which you thought was okay because it came from a big OEM supplier, wasn't actually produced under their main production approval for that specific configuration. Maybe it was made under a PMA you claimed you didn't use, or by a subcontractor without the right flow down of authority. If your paperwork just says OEM, you might not have the proper traceability the regulator demands.
So, relying on that commercial shorthand in official documents is basically asking for trouble.
Pretty much. Commercially, OEM means very little legally unless both parties explicitly define it in the contract, linking it to a specific approval holder. Just because Company X supplies parts to Boeing or Airbus doesn't automatically grant Company X some special regulatory OEM status. It's a commercial relationship, not a regulatory designation in itself.
Right, so the advice from the source material really hits home. If you see OEM in a contract or a procedure,
You better find out exactly what it's supposed to mean in that context. Who is the actual DAH or PAH? What's the approval basis?
because just using OEM loosely is, as they say, dangerous and misleading.
Yes.
And that strong stance, that warning, it carries a lot more weight when you understand who's making the argument. The analysis we're drawing from comes from Sarah McLeod.
Right. And understanding her background really clarifies why this precision is so vital. Sarah McLeod has been working on international aviation safety law, policy, compliance, all that complex stuff since the 1980s. Her whole career has been about navigating these exact kinds of definitional traps in aviation regulations. So when she flags a term as risky, it's based on decades of seeing where things can go wrong.
And she's not just an academic observer. She's the managing member of Obadahl Filler McLeod and Klein PLC. That's a law firm deeply involved in these issues.
Exactly. They deal with the legal fights, the regulatory enforcement actions that happen when these terms are misinterpreted. They see the consequences firsthand.
Plus, there's another key role she holds.
Yes. She's also a founder and the executive director of ARSA.
The Aeronautical Repair Station Association.
Right. Think about that representing thousands of repair stations worldwide. These are businesses whose licenses, whose very existence, depend on meticulously following regulations and using precise language in their documentation and part sourcing. For RSE members, ambiguity around something as fundamental as where a part legally comes from isn't just an inconvenience. It could mean massive fines, suspended operations. It's potentially catastrophic.
So her focus on nailing down terminology like OEM makes perfect sense given her advocacy for that sector. It's about protecting those businesses and ensuring safety compliance.
Absolutely. The stakes, safety, billions of dollars in commerce demand that level of precision. Vague slang just doesn't cut it.
So wrapping this up for you, the listener, that term OEM, it sounds solid, official even. But in the world of civil aviation regulations, it's basically commercial shorthand. Convenient, maybe, but not legally precise. Relying on it in contracts and compliance documents and maintenance records, that can lead to real trouble. Contract disputes, regulatory exposure, it's regulatory fluff, essentially. The key takeaway is to shift your language. Move away from just saying OEM.
And use the actual regulatory terms.
Yeah.
Design Approval Holder, DAH, and Production Approval Holder, PAH. Or reference the specific approval type like PMA, TSOA, or production certificate. Be precise.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you to maybe mull over. If so much of the industry runs on this potentially confusing term, OEM, and we know the actual supply chain involves complex layers of DAH, PAH as licensees, subcontractors, how often are organizations, airlines, repair stations unintentionally misstating their compliance? Not maliciously, you know, but just by using that comfortable common acronym, OEM, without fully understanding the specific regulatory basis of the parts they're actually using.
Yeah, something to think about next time you hear someone insist on only OEM parts. Make sure you know what that really means in black and white. Use the clear language, the regulatory language. Stay out of that quicksand. That's our deep dive for today.